Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. I hope that little classical reggae has gotten you into the mood and you were getting in the groove, because this is the time when we gather in the backyard and have a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. We are here each week at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And for those of us who grew up in Jamaica, or if you have visited Jamaica, or you're a fan in some way, I don't know whether you know, if you're just a visitor, that at Christmas time, all weather change. And we have the Christmas breeze, as we call it. But that's the time when we were younger, where we would make sure we don our sweaters, and that breeze, the trade winds, would be coming across the island as crisp as it can be, but never cold enough for us to complain. So tonight we're going to take our easy chairs, and whatever part of the island you would be, just pretend you are there in your special chair as you relax and just let the rest of the week go by, whether it was a good one or a bad one. Just get in the groove of being on the island, where the famous word is, no problem, man. So that's what we're going to do this evening as we piggyback on last week's discovery of why we party for a whole week when it comes to Christmas time. Because when I was growing up, I just knew that Christmas was not one day. I discovered that Christmas was one day when I migrated to the United States in 1959, and just one day was Christmas, and I could not understand what was wrong with these people. But then last week, since I've been doing Backyard Labrish, I have come into some new information that has really enlightened me as to why we party for a whole week. So if you missed our show last week, I would encourage you to go check it out. It's archived right there on the radio station. And I am going to follow up with another of Dr. Lumsden's discovery about some information that was written in 1859. So Dr. Lumsden happens to be a historian who goes way back. She puts together articles that she finds any place. So do check last week's or check Dr. Lumsden's pages. If you Google Dr. Joy Lumsden, you will get to several of her marvelous articles on Jamaica's history. So last week we quoted from two diaries. One was written by Lady Nugent, and one was written by Thistlewood. So if you go back to the show, you'll hear me reading from some of those. So I'm going to follow up with the last piece from way back, and then we're going to pick up on some more recent things that we are familiar with. So let me just start with this, and this was from the New York Times on February 25th in 1860. And this article was entitled Emancipation in Jamaica, Part 5, by WGS. And it refers to a Christmas of 1859, and Dr. Lumsden thinks that this person was probably in Sav Lamar. Well, it's Savannah Lamar, but Jamaicans know it as Sav Lamar. So here I go. This is the man's writing, WGS. It was Christmas Eve, a season at which the West Indian Creole goes wild with excitement. Old drums, trumpets, kettles, bells, and anything that can make a noise are brought out. Dancers dance violently, and fiddlers fiddle violently, without any regard to time or tune, and masquerading and palm singing are alternated and kept up until New Year's Day fairly past. No Negro will work for love or money during this carnival time. He is literally demented and can hardly give a sane answer to the most ordinary question. All night long, and for 8 successful nights, an infernal din, D-I-N, dash a concert of cracked drums, drill voices, and firecrackers is maintained. These poor devils who cannot enjoy this, species of amusement suffer the most exquisite torture. I passed the whole season in the country and saw exhibitions of excitement that made me think the actors fit subjects of a lunatic asylum. But although I moved freely among the people, I was almost always most civilly treated, and never on any of these occasions did I see a Negro in a state of intoxication. I do not remember having ever seen a West Indian Negro drunk, and the temperate habits of the Jamaican Creole are the more remarkable, as the spirit manufactured in the island can be obtained for a very trifle cost. I suppose that the spirit was the rum they were talking about. This is my sidebar. Back to the article. I allude to these Christmas festivities because they afford me an opportunity to see the people in their holiday time, when, if ever, they would be disposed to be as saucy and insolent as I have ever heard them characterized. I found them nothing of the kind. The accusation may be true as far as regards Kingston loafers who hang around the wharves for chance jobs and follow visitors with annoying persistence, but it is not true when applied to the peasantry. The people are no longer civil, though they retain from habit to civil epithet of massa when addressing the whites, but I have ever seen them most respectful to their superiors and most anxious to oblige. Individual testimony on this point may be discredited or deemed insufficient, but there is no indirecting the facts. Discrediting the facts that since their freedom, no people in the world have been more peaceful than the Creoles of Jamaica. With their freedom, they seem to have forgotten all ancient grievances and never to have entertained a thought of retribution. The contrast in this respect between the region of freedom and the reign of freedom and the reign of slavery carries its own lesson and its own warning. 25 years of freedom are not a murmur of popular discontent. 25 years of slavery. It cost the government $800,000 to suppress the single insurrection of 1832, during which $6 million worth of private property were destroyed. But the outbreak from which the planters then suffered would have been light compared to the one that was ready to bust over the island when liberty appeared in the gap and proved its salvation. I have also heard that Jamaican people denounce for making Christmas their great gala season of festivity instead of the anniversary of their emancipation. It is argued that they can care little in the boom of freedom if they do not keep it in remembrance or regard it as a fit opportunity for national rejoicing. But I do not think that the absence of any general enthusiasm in the West Indian Island on the 1st of August demonstrates at all that the people fail to appreciate the blessings of freedom. Anyone acquainted with these colonies knows that the reverse is the case. Negroes, very like other people, are creatures of habit, and in their Christmas festivities, they keep up the customs that they were taught to observe. They have a week's holiday, and they make the most of it according to their noisy fashion. Probably they don't reflect on the great event that the season is designed to commemorate any more than civilized people do who drink champagne and eat roast turkey. Now, Dr. Lumsden notes that, this is her what she's saying, if you are bothered by words and terms used in this piece, please recollect that it was written in the mid-19th century. I try to alter written material as little as possible so that the reader is brought as close as possible to the time in which it was written. I do not know who WGS was, but a colleague has kindly filled me in on the identity of WGS. Now, I don't have that part printed on my paper that I read to you, but she went on to say that WGS was an editor or a writer for the New York Times in 1860 when he wrote this. And he was having health problems in New York, and he went to Jamaica to recuperate. Now, this is my sidebar. We all know, at least I found out, and some of my listeners and my fans know, that that was the place where a lot of herbal medicines were actually helping not only the slaves themselves, but their masters and their children and their families were being helped by the medicines that the Africans brought with them, or the knowledge of all the herbs. And so the fact that this WGS, whoever the heck he was, went to Jamaica to get his health back and just happened to be there over the Christmas time after emancipation and wrote this piece, this article for the New York Times in 1860, was just amazing that Dr. Lumsden was able to retrieve this. And I'd like any of the listeners on the board now to weigh in on this, because I was just so intrigued, number one, with the writing. Remember now, this is he's not a slave owner. He is just a visitor to the island. He just happened to be there during the festivities, and this was his take on the whole thing. So, with that said, I have to take a breath, because it was, first of all, it's very difficult to read the writing that was done, you know, in those times, because how they placed their words, the words they used to describe certain things, is sometimes they don't even make sense to us now. I mean, we can figure out what they're trying to say, because in one sentence I remember him saying something about, you know, it was almost like a negative and a positive together. But I got more or less what he meant. So at this point, we're going to bring this all of this information forward to the now. But there is so much that came to me as I was researching all of this. Because, you know, I know that when I was young growing up, Christmas was always the biggest time of the year, and there were several days of celebration, and it never dawned on me how different it was perhaps from the rest of the world, because in my days of growing up, we didn't have a lot of communication with the rest of the world. We had the BBC News, but that was about it. You know, and the BBC News when we went to the movies. But communication was not like it is now, where, you know, somebody sneezes in the Far East and, you know, everybody knows across the world. I mean, things are instant. The world is smaller. The world, people can know what's happened, you know, 2 hours ago in a far away place. This, we're talking, my time was not like that. So when I could not believe the difference until I came to the United States and saw where Christmas was just celebrated one day and everybody didn't celebrate it. So to go back in history and find out how it all started and why it started was just very intriguing to me. So I'm hoping that the listeners who come by, the listeners on the board now, I see the board is filled, and those who come by later to listen to the show can sort of get the connection. That's why we party so much. Anyway, do I have any hands? What I'd like to do tonight as we go through these articles, and tonight I am really telling these historians how much the fans and myself appreciate them for the work they do, and Dr. Lumsden has contributed so much to what we discuss on the show. So has Dr. Tortello from Pieces of the Past, and I was given a gift of the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage that was penned by Olive Sr., And I've used a lot of her material, too. But I just thought that that piece by Mr. WGS, whoever he was, there's not a lot of information about him except that he was a Canadian, actually, working for the New York Times in 1860, or perhaps before that. But this article was written in 1860. And as most of our fans know, we do not have a lot of documentation except from some of these diaries that were discovered, you know, long after, of how people lived and moved and what people thought as they wrote these things down. So I see a raised hand from 416, and I'm going to open up the mic and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
Margaret. This is Phyllis calling from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, welcome to the backyard. Phyllis, how are you?
It's been ages, but this is a topic that is very dear to my heart.
Well, did you find that article interesting?
Very, very interesting. And the thing is, I wondered just this week, what is this thing called tradition? Because I went off and I bought my ackee, I bought my codfish, I bought my tomatoes, whatever. I got my chocolate tea, because I am one of these Jamaicans who must have my chocolate tea on Christmas morning.
Oh, how cool!
Some people.
The one you grate, or you got the one that's already grated?
We don't grate it anymore. We just throw it in the pot and leave it there. We used to. But yeah. I get up about 4 o'clock and I put it in my slow cooker and go back to sleep. Then I can have this aroma going through the whole house.
So what do you miss most about your Jamaican Christmas experience?
I really miss, I was brought up most of the time in Stony Hill.
Uh-huh.
And so you would walk and visit some people and taste their sorrel.
And,
you know, people would just visit. That was what I enjoyed, and I enjoyed going to the market. Well, when I was growing up, downtown, I can't think exactly where, we had markets. It was little covered carts, and the artists, the craftspeople, they would make a lot of the toys that people would buy now.
Uh-huh.
And so they would maybe make a little doll-sized furniture for a little girl for her Christmas present, and the parents would buy it from them. So if you think of a large outdoor bazaar, that would maybe be the best way of imagining what it was like, Christmas market. And that way you got up. Of course, Jamaica was absolutely safe then. So you would be leaving home about 4 o'clock or 5, walking all the way to the market.
Wow. Yeah.
And so groups would go and get your special Christmas treat.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss that. And even in that time, I remember we used to have the tangerines and oranges twisted, like people will twist garlic today. Well, here in Toronto, we have, you can go to the farmer's market and you'll see the garlic twisted in a long sort of coil. And they used to twist them and put them in the kitchen or places like that, the tangerines and the oranges, you know.
Interesting. Well, I wasn't aware of that. I remember them stringing the fish under the other. So
yes.
I'm getting the impression, no, that is just a string. It would be a string of tangerines and a string of oranges. And I can remember
They would plait them.
Oh,
really?
They
would plait the stem. So that
the stem.
Yes, by the way they would cut it down from the tree, they would have long I'm going to say branches, but I really mean something thinner than a branch.
Right.
And then they would plait it so that you'd be able to see the tangerine. You know, if you turned it around, each side would have a tangerine. So
right,
it wasn't a string. It wasn't a string. You know?
Very good. Well, Phyllis, I thank you so much for checking in with us and telling us what you miss. And I wish I was there to get some of the chocolate tea. I can smell it right now.
One thing we learn to do
in the backyard when we get together is to use our imagination, because we're all pretending we are in our favorite easy chair wherever we would chill when we were growing up, whether it was on the beach, in the backyard, in the front porch, or on the deck. You know how the houses used to have the flat roof?
Yes,
and you could go
yes.
up on the deck?
Oh, for sure. And I was
just
laughing.
And you would hear that breeze blowing across
Yes. And I was just laughing at the start of the season because, of course, I was listening to Bing Crosby singing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And I thought, we were really crazy in Jamaica. We are singing this song when we had no idea. But, of course, we have always appreciated a good voice. So
right.
I think it was more the music that was thrilling to us than the thought of having the snow, because we didn't know what snow looked like. You know?
Right, but we had great imagination, so we appreciated it.
But
the last thing... Because a lot of people after they came here and saw what it was like.
Who
found out? Wish
they
were back home. Especially when it was bad.
Yes,
so thank you so much for checking in with us. And we are going to go to another caller now who would like to share. I see some hands up. So
I just want to tell you before I go that we cannot forget the new dress.
Oh, yes.
We had to get a new
dress
to go to church.
Right.
So
right.
All the very best to you and a Merry Christmas, and I'll continue listening to hear other
Thank
people's
stories. Thank you so much. Thanks
stories.
For weighing in.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm going to open up the mic to 718-653. You're in the backyard, and this is Margaret. Who do I have?
This is Maxine Lyons. Good evening, everyone. How are you, Miss Marshall?
Hi, Maxine, my favorite poet. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. When I saw the email and saw the topic, I'm like, I need to make the sacrifice to be on the show because Christmas is my baby. I love
Christmas. I know you have one of your poems for us tonight. So on me, baby.
Okay, it's called Jamaican Christmas. And, of course, it's written in Patois. For those of you who don't know Patois, somebody can
All right, our visitors will appreciate that. We know Patois.
Okay. Jamaican Christmas. Starlight, fire clappers, balloons, 50 cent a dozen. Come over here, so my cousin. Nice lady, come buy the balloon for your son. This is the last one. You know, see, almost done. Starch, $1 quart. You have to starch the pillowcase them. Christmas day a pass. Come by the pretty curtain, old lady. Nice young man. Not today, ma'am. Galang, you foot them favor butter pan. Miss Mary, this year Christmas soft, sir. Jane, me this a praying on me heart, ma. Christmas time in Jamaica. This is all you hear. For a damn time a year, every damn thing just get dear. But this a one holiday. Jamaican people no fear. For them save up every red cent. All through the year. And when Christmas come, them have them big lump sum. But let me tell you the same thing. But Christmas then and now is a whole heap of difference. And me go tell you no how. The first thing you could have feel was the cool, cool Christmas breeze. The busyness and fanciness. And that make Christmas sweet. Every year that you walk past, the stone and grass whitewash. Every civic space and corner was free of any trash. Them wash every cockery and make sure them no mash. And everywhere you look, them have all kind of bash. For all Jamaican people, Christmas have a push. The government
Wonderful! That is It explains everything about
everything,
the season.
Yes.
And you created that?
The whole thing, the entire poem. Yes, I did.
Oh, that is wonderful. And where can people purchase your work if they would like to?
Okay, they can go to poettothemax.com.
Would you spell it out for them?
That's P-O-E-T-T-O-T-H-E-M-A-X. That's poettothemax.com.
Uh-huh.
That's my website.
Uh-huh.
Or they can call me if they so desire. And my number is 917-557-3806.
Well, Maxine, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's
You're
just
welcome.
Like going to a pantomime.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that was something that I look forward to doing at Christmas time.
Absolutely.
So I thank you for bringing that back, that memory, and giving me a little taste of Christmas time.
Yes, because that was just a taste. That wasn't the whole poem. There's much
more
to it.
It was just a taste?
I mean, that was just a taste, yes.
Oh, great. Great, great, great. So let me open up the... Thank you so much, Maxine. Let me
You're
open
so
up
welcome.
The mic to 321-420. Hello, you
Hello.
Got Max in the backyard.
Hi. Hello, good night. This is Jackie calling from Orlando, where we too have no white Christmases.
I know that.
Yeah, what? I haven't seen a white Christmas. Yes?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello,
so how did you like
that
poem?
The poem, that was wonderful, and it did bring back a lot of memories. Actually, the caller before with the Christmas market, I left Jamaica when I was very young, so I don't have a lot of memories of Christmases in Jamaica. However, I know that even as an adult going back, there is such a different feel. It's not a one-day event. And the visiting and the sorrel and the cake, tasting sorrel and cake, it still happens. I know in the country we go all over and taste 5-6 different kinds of cakes and sorrel in, you know, a given 1 or 2 day period. So, I mean, it is so different here, and it's the memories of, you know, the Christmases in Jamaica right now. They don't have maybe Christmas market, but we go to the market, you know. I still go to, if I'm in Jamaica for Christmas, I still go to the market. And it's you feel Christmas in the air, unlike at the malls here. I feel anxiety. Anyway, I just wanted to say the poem with the starlight. What came to mind earlier for me today was chibum, but I don't know if anyone knows what chibums are. They're the little round balls that you would throw down onto the floor, and they would make these crackling noises. And that was one of the memories that stood out in my mind. And I just want to wish everyone all the best for the whole entire holiday season. And Christmas is not one day, no
Thank
matter
you.
Where we are on the planet. Okay?
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Good
Thank
night
you
and Merry Christmas.
In the backyard.
Well, thank
Thanks
you
a lot.
For allowing the forum. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. It's my pleasure. All right?
Okay. We'll talk.
And you have
Bye-bye.
A wonderful holiday.
Same to you and your entire family.
Thank you. I'm
okay,
going to open
and all the listeners.
Thank you, darling. I'm going to open up the mic now to 973. Good evening. You've got Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have? 973-373, would you like to say hello? Your hand was up. I guess not, so I'll close back the mic. 973-373, do you want to talk? I guess not. Okay, if you do, just put your hand up again. I know sometimes people accidentally touch the wand, so that might have happened. And here in the backyard, we always want you to be relaxed, no problem, man. So we're not going to have you talk if you're not ready to talk. So now I want to share some of Dr. Tortella's. This is can be found in, if you Google Pieces of the Past, it is published by the Jamaican Gleaner. And they've actually made a book out of all these articles that Dr. Tortello has written for Pieces of the Past. And I'm going to be reading from her article. And I know anybody can get this information that I bring to the backyard, but I know some people would rather listen than go read themselves. And this is my passion to just, as I say, celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. Now, I know there's a lot of information as to what's happening now there, and this show is not that I'm oblivious to it, but this show is dedicated to learning some of the things we didn't know when we were growing up and celebrating the things that we think we believe made us who we are wherever we're living. But, you know, we are part of the culture. We lived it, we experienced it, and I think it has a great impression on who we are as we expand in the world, as we train our families, as we interact with other people. Not that we are, I'm not saying that we're so different, but all of us from different cultures bring something to each other. So I am just here to celebrate, and I'm so appreciative for that you all are helping me to celebrate this. So let's read what Dr. Tortello has to say about today's Christmas. Today, Christmas in Jamaica, as in many countries around the world, has become commercialized. Carols are heard from the end of November. Deacons appear for the 1st of December in stores. Decorations appear from the 1st of December in stores and homes, and Santa can be visited in many different stores. In decades past, Christmas time included a number of different types of celebrations marked by distinctive sights, sounds, and smells. There are the tradition of the Grand Market, the much-heralded arrival of Santa Claus in the downtown shopping district, and the dramatic performances of the Janconi bands. All three still exist, but to significantly lesser degree, and none are greeted with the awe and expectations of days gone by. Grand Market or Grand Market or Grand Market, Grand Market or Grand Market is a community fair characterized by food, street dancing, craft, and music. In the past, the weekend before Christmas, and particularly on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, markets all over the island were awash with vendors selling small toys, firecrackers, balloons, and sweets of all kinds. Peanut, a African word for peanuts. Cakes, grater cakes, and peppermint sticks. Oranges, and even American apples were distinctive features of the grand markets. Sorrel, chocolate tea, and coffee flowed, as did the Christmas carols and a merry banter between vendors and customers. Is not ironic, this is my sidebar, is not ironic that we had that poem shared with us, because some of it was banter between the vendors, as is mentioned here. So you see how appropriate that was. On Christmas Day, some markets were decorated with streamers, large accordion-style bells, and balloons. Many were decked out in fancy clothes, including bright hats purchased upon entering the Grand Market. Everyone came to town for Grand Market, and the celebrations lasted throughout the day and well into the night. The cry, "Janconi Kom," meant excitement was near. As soon as the sound of the bands could be heard, people poured out of their houses, lining the streets to watch the dancing masqueraders in their larger-than-life costumes. Children of all ages and even some adults would often run away screaming, frightened by the more elaborate costumes. Occasionally, some of the individual characters, like the devil, might jab at them with his fork, escalating the fear factor. Up to the 1960s, masked Jonquera bands could be seen around the island. Jonquera, spelled, and she spells it out, J-O-H-N-C-O-N-O-E, it is spelled different ways, J-O-H-N-K-O-N-N-O, and J-O-N-N-Y-C-A-N-O-E. Jonquera and Jonquera is an example of creolization in action, or what Rex Nettleford called the blending of the rhythm of Africa with the melody of Europe. However it began, Jonquera melted the tradition of masquerading from Africa and those of Europe masquerading and British mumming play. M-U-M-I-N-G, yeah. Excerpts from Shakespeare monologues were often included. The costumes also reflected European influences incorporated in the attire of large kings and queens amongst the characters. The tradition set of Jonquera characters included the horned cowhead, policeman, horsehead, wild Indian, devil, belly woman, pitchy patchy, and sometimes a bride, and househead who carried an image of a great house on his head. Yet all were bright, elaborate, and colorful. Mirrors and tinsels generally added shine to costumes. Pitchy Patchy, in particular, was a striking sight, his costume made up of strips of brightly colored cloth. Each character had a special role and sometimes a special dance to perform. For example, Belly Woman's, often a man's dressed up as a pregnant lady, always created laughter when by exaggerating the belly in time with the music. Characters often interacted with one another, and the music of the drums and fife caused many an onlooker to dance along with the band. Although Jamaica is credited with the longest-running tradition of Jonquera, today these mysterious bands with their gigantic costumes appear more as entertainment at cultural events than at random along our streets. Despite attempts to revive these customs, so much is being lost. Today, the cost of putting together a Jonquera band is also prohibited, and sponsors are not easy like today. The stores and streets downtown were heavily decorated, and a Christmas tree could be found in the area now known as St. William's Grand Park. Thousands awaited Santa Claus' arrival on balconies and along crowded sidewalks. The Santa Claus parade was a much anticipated event. Streets were closed to traffic to clear the way for Santa's sleigh ride down King Street into Harbor Street and Times Store, his final destination. Vendors lined the streets with boxes full of lollipops and biscuits. Marching bands, troops of Boy Scouts and Girl Guides, people holding effigies of Norman Manley and Alexander Bustamante, and floats carrying various beauty queens preceded old Saint Nick. The jolly man in red was ceremoniously greeted at the door of Times Store by its owners and the mayor of Kingston. One by one, the hundreds of children waiting in long line to tell Santa their Christmas wishes made their way into his comfortable lap. Santa stayed in Times Store for almost 3 weeks. Of course, today, Times Store is no more. So that is Dr. Tortella's article on the present Christmas. So she gives us a little glimpse in the past of what went on. And those of the listeners who were with us last week, or if you've checked last week's show, you will know that the revelry and the week-long celebration started way back. So it's amazing how, you know, we grow up doing things or experiencing things, and we really don't know how they originated, but they just become a part of us, and we expect, you know, certain things to happen at certain times. So I know things have changed there, but as Jackie from Florida shared with us, some of it is still going on, and those of us who grew up expecting certain things, like our Phyllis from Toronto is still tied to her chocolate so she can have that aroma on Christmas morning as it comes out of her slow cooker. And I just think that's a neat way to make it. I will have to borrow that one. So if anybody else on the board would like to weigh in, I see a caller from 905. With, I think, hands up, or I'm going to open the mic. If you're not the one with the hands up, my board is sort of jumping up and down tonight like it's doing a John Kuno dance. So the numbers keep flashing from one to the next. So I'm opening up the mic to 905-420. So if you are the person that with your hands up and you'd like to say hello, this is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have? Hello?
Hi, Margaret.
Yes.
It's Carol.
Oh, and Carol, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto.
God, well, I know, but we want the rest of the world to know. So we are blessed tonight. We have two callers from Toronto.
Okay. Actually, I'm a little bit late getting to the show. But a lot of what I've heard so far has brought back a number of happy memories. And some of it is completely alien to me because I am a country girl. I'm not a city girl. I was brought up near Savlemar, but lived outside of town. And therefore, our experiences were completely different to the Kingstonian experience.
You know, I'm glad you said that because foreigners, not all of them, but some foreigners believe that because we're all from Jamaica, not
yeah.
only do we all know each other, but we all were doing the same things at the same time. And when I tell people that I only visited Savlemar. I never been to Montego Bay before I moved to the United States.
Well,
and on
course,
a trip back, I went to Montego Bay.
It's such a big island, you know, all of 144 miles long. But
Right. But the point is we were doing different things in different
yeah.
parts of the island.
Exactly.
Even at the same time, like the celebration of Christmas. So what would you like to share with the backyard visitors and the rest of the world?
Well, basically, you know, I was brought up in a small town, and not even in town, but we lived outside of town and had to go into town to see the John Canoes. And for any excitement at all, we had to go into town. But as far as I recall, there was sort of no one who was in the role of Santa Claus in any of the commercial buildings downtown. I certainly remember the John Canoes, and you know, after listening to your what you were reading, I didn't realize the character that I was so scared of was in fact called Pitchy Patchy.
You remember. You could identify yes, Pitchy Patchy in your memory.
I absolutely remember the scraps, and that I was absolutely terrified of this character. But Christmas itself, I think the warmest memory was of the cool breezes we experienced, because Savlamar was, you know, a seaport town and very, very warm. So we could experience the sort of Christmas breezes sitting on our verandas, and accompanying that were the peeny wallies, the light from the peeny wallies and the moonies, and you know, because it was there was no street lighting where we were, so it was pitch dark, and so the fireflies were, you know, produced a twinkling light all the time. The stars were, there was no ambient light, so the stars were absolutely like jewels in the sky.
Wow.
I also have memories of poinsettias. Nearly every yard had poinsettias that were quite bright red at that time. We had no pantomimes or ward theater or anything down there. So we made, you know, our own celebrations, and a lot of it was around church, because I can remember getting up at the crack of dawn to go to church, so that as the sun, that we were at church when the sun rose on Christmas morn.
Wow.
And I remember the beautiful old carols that we used to sing. And, you know, but I can remember it being, at the time, feeling cold because we had to get up so early on Christmas morning.
Right,
of course, now I know what cold is. But
yes, now you know what real cold is.
What real cold is.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So,
now, do you have any special food that you remember and miss?
Well, we had, not that I miss, but we my mother was given some peacocks, and I can remember us once having, you know, I think it was a peahen for Christmas, and of course there was the traditional turkey and the hams that came from Australia, which are unlike the hams we get in North America. But which I think they now make in Jamaica, but there were hams which came from Australia, and I can remember that, and you know, and our stockings, Santa Claus always brought us useful things like socks and underwear, and if we were lucky, we might have gotten some of Lanniman's Paradise plums and mint
right.
balls, because
that's
we didn't have access to the Wanglers and things like that were in the street markets in Kingston. So, you know, those things were a real treat for us. And, of course, well, the family that we had in Savlamar, I can remember my grandmother always coming out to our place for Christmas, and that was the only time of the year that she came out. And she always wore, you know, flannel underwear, because it was cold, and long sleeve dresses with buttons right up at the neck, because after all it was cold, and this was the time that the Christmas breeze, you know, sort of cooled down the island.
Right. Now, what period are we talking about?
Hey.
No, we just want to know, you know, the year period.
Okay, I would think
30s,
the 40s, 19 early 40s.
Early 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can remember this, you know, I got my first doll, I think, when I was about 4. And that was the first toy I got from Santa Claus. And by evening, I had detached the eyes. And And I henceforth got the name of Destroying Angel.
Oh, because that was your name. Well, that's one thing I remember we were famous for, and is branding someone with a nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
And people sometimes end up having that name, even though it wasn't even related to their real name.
Yes, but, you know, I guess I just was curious to see how the eyes worked, so because it opened and closed, and I can picture that doll right now. But as I said, I removed the eyes, and I think my parents were very upset about this.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Carol, thank you so much. Is there any tradition that you did in Jamaica that you have passed on to your children?
The usual sort of Christmas cakes, but one of the things that we did a lot of at Jamaica was visiting at Christmas time. Here, because distances are so enormous, we don't get the same sort of visiting back and forth with friends. But one of the things that it's a very rare Christmas that we do not have someone, or the kids bring home someone to have Christmas dinner with us. In fact, we're having someone from Norway and someone from Grenada. But we always have extra people at Christmas. They can be as far away as from Australia or somewhere, but the kids always find someone or a couple of people to bring home for Christmas.
Great. Well, Carol, thank you so much for sharing that memory with us all the way from Toronto. So thank you for being in the backyard. We hope that you'll come often.
Well, I come as often as I can.
Great.
Okay,
fantastic.
And our seasonal greetings, a Merry Christmas to everybody, if I can be politically incorrect. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to open up the mic to 860-524. Hold on. The board is jumping. So I think, no, I haven't opened. So 860-524, your mic is open. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. This is Desmond Green from Connecticut.
Desmond from Connecticut. Do you feel that Christmas breeze?
Of course, of course. And I've been enjoying this rich presentation. It's really delightful, yes.
What memories do you want to share with the rest of the world?
I remember especially the time coming into Christmas when we would prepare the place, we would clean the yard up, we would do all the whitewashing of the trees and the stones and everything. But most of all, we would earn money by picking up coffee, rat-cut coffee. And then we would also break stones to put on the roads, and the public works people would come and buy the stones, and we would be millionaires.
Cool.
So when we got our money and we would go out Grand Market night, believe me, we would have a ball.
I can imagine. Well, you know, the kids here had paper routes, but Jamaicans are so creative and entrepreneurial that they can make money at. They will find something to make them money.
That is right.
So what part of the island were you breaking stones and making money?
That's in Christiana.
Christiana, what part?
Manchester.
Oh, wow.
And I just want to congratulate Jamaicans for having the richest, truly the most beautiful Christmas in the world.
I don't know if you were on our show last week, or you might want to listen to it to find out how it all began. It's been so interesting.
Yeah.
And there we were enjoying all of this, you know, celebration. And we, well, I know for me, I didn't even know how it all started and why it happened. It's only when I came here that I realized how different we celebrated there.
That is right. As I think, the reason why so many of us are all over the world is that we had to take this special goodie with us to share with the rest of the world wherever we are.
Right.
Couldn't keep it
in
one
spot.
Yes, well,
as Rex said, you know, the Africans became Europeanized and the Europeans became Africanized.
Absolutely.
And
wonderful.
It made a
wonderful
mix.
Big mix. A very grand, divine, human mix-up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us from Connecticut. And I have another raised hand, which looks like 404, 298. So I'm going to open up the mic.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. And 404, welcome to the backyard. You got Margaret.
This is Annette.
Hi, Miss Annette.
How are you?
I'm a guest of the backyard, aren't you?
Yes, I've been listening to Jackie and the lady from Toronto and this gentleman.
Yeah,
and
now you're the
this
lady who shared with us your experience of living all over Jamaica, even in Moko.
Oh, yes.
You're famous for that.
Yes. And, you know, I'm there here reminiscing of the different experiences of Christmas at different stages of my life.
Wonderful. So is there something you want to share with us?
Oh, yes. I remember when I was at school, I went to a girls' boarding school. And then when I got home for Christmas, my uncle-in-law, he was choir master. And, of course, I will tell you I can't turn a tune, but what happened, he had these Christmas cantatas every year, singing.
Mm-hmm. I remember those.
Yes, and then I would have to join the choir and participate in all the singing. So I remember that very vividly. And, of course, coming up to Christmas, I hear that lady saying about the breeze in Savlamar. But the first sign of Christmas, when you felt this nice, cool, soft breeze, and you say, oh, yes, Christmas coming, Christmas breeze.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
Yeah. And as a child, I remember one of the chores we had to do just before Christmas. I don't know if everybody remembers this, but you'd have to help to take everything out the cabinet.
Oh yes, and clean the crystal
wash them
and
put them in the sun and they would sparkle and shine.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
Yes, and these doilies now that we use, those paper doilies, we use them in trays.
Uh-huh.
Well, you would line the cabinet shelves with those. Every year you'd put in new doilies.
Wow.
And of course, you had to put up new curtains, mm-hmm. so you helped. My aunt would be stitching and sewing, and we put up new curtains, and everything was just sparkling and dandy.
Wow.
And then that was the early preparation for Christmas, and then I would go to Kingston, and I would spend Christmas with my mother and my family in Kingston. And that was now, we would go to Grand Market on Christmas Eve, downtown Kingston. And, of course, you look forward to getting a new outfit because you had to get a new dress, new everything. And that was the fun part of Christmas because you got new clothes to dress up to go to church on Christmas Day. And, you know, Margaret, then people didn't have a lot of presents, didn't give a lot of, as a matter of fact, I don't remember us giving presents. But I remember
presence was our presence.
Yes,
being
as children, you'd look forward to getting your starlight, your little pack of starlight, and your firecrackers, and then you would light your starlight, and everybody would be outside and as children, and you would be spinning around your starlight, and see, it was very pretty.
Joy, 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 yes.
Yes, and then there was the fire rocket.
You
had to be very careful.
Uh-huh.
We have them, I think we have them here in the States, but they are not operated as we did, because most times you would light the fire rocket in your hand and throw it out so that it wouldn't explode in your hand.
Right, right. Oh, those are wonderful memories. Do you have you kept any of the tradition since you have migrated?
Not really, except that you still make the traditional Christmas cake. And I went to buy myself a dress for Christmas yesterday.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
You plan to wear it to church?
No, not really to wear to church, but more for a Christmas Eve New Year's Eve party.
Got you.
But
as a teenager,
we would enjoy going visiting everybody. You'd visit your friend's house because you weren't cooking; your parents were cooking. And everybody would offer you sorrel and cake, and you would just have fun visiting your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd be home in time for the family dinner.
Right.
And that was, you know, extra special because the ham was special. The lady said their ham came from Australia, but I think our ham came from United States. And one thing I remember about them, they had a very thick skin and they were very salty, so you would have to boil it to get rid of some of the salt. And of course, in Kingston, nearly everybody's fence had poinsettia, but not only the poinsettia was there, but you had the euphorbia, which was white. So you had the poinsettia, which was red. And it was they planted it alternatively with the euphorbia, so you would have red and white. And that was very, very pretty. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if people still do that a lot in Jamaica now, to plant the poinsettia and the euphorbia as flowers against the fence. But I remember that very, very vividly.
Oh, well, that's great. And thank you for sharing your memories with us, Annette. And it's great to have you back and hear your voice again.
Oh, thank you, Margaret.
And you have a wonderful holiday.
You too. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much.
And your family.
Thank you.
Please be safe. Are you going to be in town for Christmas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well,
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Now I'm going to read from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage by Olive Senior. And what I'm doing tonight is, as I mentioned before, these are three historians that I've used their material all the time. And last week, for the listeners who may come by later, again, let me say this: you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And what we do on the show, or what I do on the show, is try to encourage people in the diaspora to share their stories with us so that we can have some information of what life was like when we were growing up in Jamaica. Because like the rest of the world, things are changing all over the world. Customs are changing. And although we are here, and things might be different in Jamaica, we have our memories of how things were like. And unless we really preserve them, just like the historians now have to be scrambling around to put information together because it was not really organized or some were not even documented per se. But we live in an age where we have technology. We can embrace the technology instead of resenting or being afraid or scared of using the technology. We need to embrace it because we are just so fortunate. I know I consider myself very fortunate to be alive and well and to be able to embrace this technology. So I encourage the listeners and the fans who may come by later to join us in the backyard or do your own thing, but preserve some of your memories so the next generation behind you, whether they're your family or friends, just the next generation, each one of us have our own story. We have special memories. We have special ideas. We look at things differently. We express ourselves differently. So that makes us very special. And we need to know that we can leave a part of us for the next generation. And, you know, there's a lot of negative things happening in the world, including Jamaica and all over the world. But there are also lots of positive things. So I'm here to help embrace and celebrate the positive side, and I encourage you. I appreciate you and thank you for supporting me and for supporting the idea of the show. And I encourage you, if you have a story you'd like to share with us and the rest of the world, do let me know because I'd love to have you as my guest. And a lot of times, things that we think are not important to other people, you would be surprised at what might be interesting to some people. So now I'm going to read to you from Olive Senior's Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage. And I must tell you that both Pieces of the Past and this particular publication make wonderful gifts for, you know, your family or a friend. Or, you know, because there are so many Jamaicans and Jabrits and people of Jamaican heritage born all over the world. And it's good to have some information that they can check on to find out about their heritage. So I'm just giving a plug here for these publications. But this is Olive Senior's article in this Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage that I'm going to read for you. The celebration of Christmas season, which goes into the new year, is taken very seriously by many Jamaicans and has always been the island's most important holiday. The day following Christmas, Boxing Day, is also a public holiday, and so is New Year's Day. In modern times, the celebrations have become more Europeanized with strong religious overtones as in other Christian countries. The event is usually marked by church services, Christmas carols, much visiting and exchanging of gifts and greetings, family celebrations and special food and drink, as well as partying. Many people mark New Year's Eve by attending midnight mass or church services in addition to private home parties or elaborate public balls that have become a fairly recent feature. Some have taken on the practice of decorating their homes or yard with colored lights and having lavishly decorated Christmas trees. Despite the many important elements, there are still some features of Christmas that are unmistakably Jamaican, starting with Christmas breeze, a special light and welcome wind that signals the imminent arrival of the favorite time of the year. In the countryside, the sugarcane sends up its feathery plume to signal its ripeness. And in gardens everywhere, lavish poinsettias, red and white, burst into bloom, as does a wild vine known as Christmas Pop, P-O-P. I never heard of that before. But anyway, while today children might expect to receive manufactured and imported toys, in the past, Christmas was most associated with noisemakers, balloons, colored paper hats, with amusing sayings and special sweets. Firecrackers would be bought and set off from weeks ahead of the holiday, a practice introduced by the Chinese. Firecrackers were, however, banned in the 1970s. I didn't know that. A promenade known down King Street on Christmas Day was once a feature of Kingston, along with the tradition of the Christmas market or grand market and a Christmas morning concert. Now all vanished. Special foods are associated with Christmas. Ripening in the back garden and making its appearance in the market to herald the season is sorrel, to be made into red-colored drink, without which Christmas is unthinkable, as well as gungo peas, to be made into soup with the bone left over from the Christmas ham. A sweet yam called yampi, also available at this time, it's regarded as a special treat. In the old days, householders cured their own hams, but now prepared hams are readily available. This is the favorite Christmas meat, though turkey is becoming popular. Earlier in the 20th century, Christmas beef or a specially raised chicken honored the day. Among the better off, the meal must be finished off with Christmas pudding, sometimes doused in rum and brought flaming to the table in the English manner. Many people began to celebrate Christmas well in advance of the actual event, especially since many Jamaicans living overseas tried to return home, and this season is not regarded as well and truly over until the 2nd of January. Now, during the plantation era, she says, Christmas in the pre-emancipation era was celebrated even more intensively, since it represented for the entire population, slave and free, the longest break from labor, vacations being unknown. The three-day holiday beginning on Christmas Day took on a carnival-like atmosphere in the towns, and for a brief while a period of license on the sugar plantation. The festivals were the occasions for the slaves to dress in all of their fine clothes and jewelry, paying visits to the great house on Boxing Day, playing masquerade or jonquino. They could look forward to an abundant supply of fresh beef denied them during the year, and it says sea salt, where you can check on why, and other special rations. Easter is the only other holiday when one day's break came to be known as Pickin or Pickiny, which means small Christmas. New clothing was among the treats eagerly awaited. Hence the song, Christmas a come, me want a llama, L-A-M-A. Christmas, in fact, signaled the end of a period of food scarcity and deprivation for the slaves. As Richard B. Sheridan, in his study of slave medicine, pointed out, the period July to November was generally one of scarcity and malnutrition, called by the slaves hard time or hunger season. A few crops were in and few or no provision ships arrived. It was with a sense of hope and excitement then that the slaves awaited Christmas, for it was truly the season of plenty. After long months of deprivation and hunger, slaves were surified with food and drink during the Christmas season. For one thing, such food, crop as maize, yams, plantains, bananas, and sweet potatoes matured during December and January. Another nutritional increment came from cattle that were slaughtered, providing several pounds of meat to each adult black. Ships and convoys carrying plantation supplies for the sugar harvest left ports in North America and Europe so as to arrive in the West Indies after the hurricane season and by the beginning of the Christmas holidays. The slaves were from famine to feasting in preparation for crop time, which began shortly after the holidays and continued without a break until the end of July, a time of continuous labor as the sugar cane was ripened and processed into sugar, molasses, and rum. Crop time, nevertheless, was a season of relative food abundance. The slaves were permitted to drink liberally of cane juice and chew newly cut cane. Rich, vitamin-rich molasses was plentiful. Ground provisions and fruits were available, and ships continuously arrived with provisions. As the season concluded, hunger and destitution then stalked the black intermittently until the next Christmas holiday, when they were once again fattened for another harvest. And that is the article in the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage. So as you can see, most of the historians, you know, they're actually saying the same thing. As I gathered from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage, the ships couldn't leave before a certain time to come to Jamaica because they had to be aware of the hurricane season, which we still have now. So it was not possible to get the provisions to that part of the world. You can imagine what the shipping routes were like then. If even now, you know, things have to be sort of planned around the hurricane season. So it makes sense that during the Christmas time, when the harvest was in, you know, the sugar was ripe, the yams were ripe, the gungo peas came into season, all of that. It was really not only a time where when they were replenished, their nourishment, but it's certainly a time to celebrate. But one of the articles that struck me is the first writer that I read, WGS, whoever he was, when he spoke of these people drinking, but he didn't see anybody drunk. And I remember as a child how at Christmas time people were always drinking. But I remember seeing very few people, perhaps one or two, that may be staggering on the street. I don't even remember seeing that. But it is amazing how Jamaicans can drink that rum, and really it's like it don't really affect them as much. I know that a couple of times I've seen some foreigners take a drink of that rum punch that we make with that white rum, and a little while, it really gets to them. So I wanted to know if anybody on the board would like to comment on that, because I found that quite interesting. So do I have any takers for a comment on the fact that we seem to be able to tolerate our Jamaican liquor a lot better than other people? And it seemed to have gone back. The man that was writing about 1859. And he was amazed that these people were drinking all this liquor, and he didn't see a man drunk. So I thought that was quite interesting. So do I have any takers on wanting to comment on that? Everybody's mic is open, 416-718-631 and 973. I'm not sure. My board is jumping, so please forgive
Hello,
me.
Hello, Margaret.
Yes.
Hi,
where are you calling from? Are you there?
Margaret?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Good evening. Who do I have?
This is Janine from Long Island.
Oh, welcome from Long Island, Janine.
How are you?
I am great. How are you tonight?
Oh, very good, and I'm so happy to hear so many people calling in, you know.
Yes.
So
we've had
nice.
A full board.
Yes, I can see that. I can hear that, rather. Yes, so.
What would you like to share with us?
Well, I remember Christmas with all the excitement, you know, the preparation and everything, you know, they prepared the aroma in the house with the ham and the cake. And also I can relate to the fruits hanging up and just the whole thing about it. The lights outside, the Christmas tree, we used to put like cotton on it as to represent. The snow, because we used to get Christmas cards from here because we had relatives here, so they would send us Christmas cards. So we knew what the snow looked like on the card. So we would decorate the tree to match that with the cotton.
Interesting.
It was just a happy time for everyone. You go on the street, everyone seems very happy, pleasant, always, you know. That type of environment, and it's just so nice when it was Christmas time, you know. Just
watching
everything happening, you know, getting your new dresses and having. Well, we had someone come in with the magazine from here, from America, and he would bring the magazine in to show my mother, and she would have our shoes made. And it was just one thing after the other. Boxing Day, we would have party. My parents would get the steel band, and they would come, and they would set up outside the yard. And, of course, in those days, you would set up your tables and your chair in the front of the yard instead of the back.
Mm-hmm.
We would dance on the veranda. We would dance anywhere there was a spot. We would dance, you know.
And this was a day party.
Day party, yes.
Yeah, I remember those. Day parties were very popular when I was growing up. So what period are we talking about? Do you want to share with us?
Well, I was born in 1945. I remember, you know, like when I was 5, 6, but I'm more talking about in the 50s now when I was a little older.
Right,
you know, the
good,
50s
good.
And the 60s, you know.
Right. Well, we just have a few seconds left on our show time. So, Janine, I want to thank you, along with the other listeners, for really sharing their memories with us. And I really hope that you got something, you know, inspiration from what we read and we shared the last 2 weeks that will put you in a real Christmas mood. And not only will you appreciate your heritage, but it will help you to celebrate with more passion, because we're so blessed and fortunate. and to be able to be here on the planet now when so many marvelous things are happening. So I want to take this opportunity to thank all my loyal listeners, those who have come by tonight for the first time, those like you and the rest of the callers in that are loyal listeners. We have 10 seconds left, so if anyone wants to say something quickly, you say it now, or we will be off the air in a couple of minutes. But I just want to just wish everybody a wonderful, healthy, safe holiday with a lot of joy and love. Anybody want to weigh in?
Yes, just want to say a Merry Christmas to all, and God bless everyone, and I hope that the new year will be much better than the one that we just went through, and everything will be okay for everyone.
Thank you so much, Janine. Anybody else? Well, I want to wish you all a good night, and I hope you come back often and stay as long as you did tonight. I love everybody, and be well and safe, and come back next week. We'll have another show that hopefully will be interesting. So good night, and God bless you.
Merry Christmas to you. Bye.
Merry Christmas. God bless. Bye.